Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to you all. Your lordship comes to you in the form of Mr. Tommy Lorenzo Hart, a former Christian preacher minister. He is author of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. My Lord would like to share the findings of his 38-year study on the contents of the book commonly known as the King James Bible, but which Mr. Hart says is the Vatican's one and only authorized version of the Bible. Our Father is not a Christian or a religionist. He has come to unravel Vatican deception by decrypting Bible content. Our Lord brings to light the secrets of the Vatican and reveals the now 400-year stratagem with the level-headed study and analysis unlike any other. His Excellency unscrambles the authorized version's confusing text and separates truth from fiction. He defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, and God. His premise, the King James Version, written in 1611, is a book of law, the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white. The Vatican is a governmental body, institution, for the purpose of subjugating all non-white people and undermining all whom they call black or African people worldwide through what Vatican law deemed the curse, all while hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion, using the Bible in perversity and deceit. Mr. Hart's bibliography is the King James Bible, the authorized version of the Roman Catholic Church, a product of the Vatican. So without further ado, I want to introduce the host of the show, my Lord, Tommy Hart. Father, are you with us?
Yes, Mr. Welch, I am. Good morning, and thank you. Today, we're going to continue with the subject being the plaintiff and his complaint. We're going to look at evidence which supports the plaintiff in his complaint, and the evidence will show that the plaintiff has a right to be heard, that his rights have been violated, and we'll look at a statement in Hebrews 13, verse 2, also along with that. Excuse me. So let us begin. We'll first look at this statement in Hebrews 13, verse 2. Which says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Now, we've looked at another statement before that says, remember and forget not. We've also looked at a statement that says, remember the former days of old. So, it's a thing about remembering. The plaintiff's complaint takes us back to the days of old. It takes us back to the when the Gentiles invaded Africa and took possession of its lands, resources, etc. Even the people themselves, and many of them cast them out of their land, scattered them in the throughout the dominion of the Gentiles, and cruelly oppressed them. And a statement, Hebrews 13:2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. That is a papal bull. It comes down from the papacy. It is an order, a papal order, and it is directed to the Gentiles. The papacy tells the Gentiles to not to forget to entertain strangers. Now, the question is, who are strangers? Well, let's go back to a passage that began this line of reasoning. Exodus 15, verse 13, which says, thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. The plaintiff has said the past 2 weeks that he is an alien, and he is an alien in the eyes of his captors. Another statement, he says, I have been an alien. Okay, so we have the two words, alien and strangers. In the Genesis 15 statement, Genesis 15, 13, the stranger is in reference to the blacks, the Africans, who were taken into captivity by the Gentiles. Excuse me. And throughout Bible content, stranger is just that. It speaks to those blacks who were scattered by means of the papal law and the Gentiles scattering the slaves in all of their dominion. So stranger is a reference to black people here. A reference to Africans taken into captivity. And I'll read the complete statement. That seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. We go back to the plaintiff's complaint. He says that he is the man that has seen affliction. In Isaiah 53, we get a finding on that. Isaiah 53, verse 7 says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Now, the he is representative of the whole of black people. They were blacks, Africans, were oppressed, and they were afflicted. Isaiah 53:4 says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Listen, yet we did esteem him, we the Gentiles did esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Okay, we're talking about the strangers who were scattered by the Gentiles. Okay, now back to Hebrews 13, verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. That statement, as I said, is to the Gentiles, alias white people. What does he mean by entertain? The word entertain here, he means to divert the attention of. Divert the attention of. Okay? And isn't that what has happened since the end of slavery? Blacks have been able to they have gained access to the Bible. They have been able to learn to read, and they have been reading the Bible, many of them. But yet, for the most part, all the average one knows is what he has heard taught from the pulpit, from the church, which is Jesus died for my sins, etc., about Jesus. Yet when we read the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see that Jesus, the character, died for his own sin. He did not die for anyone else's sin. He was put to death for his own sin. And one of those sins was what? He worked on the Sabbath day. And the law says, and we haven't read this, but the law says anyway, and he was reminded of that, you know, in the Gospels, all the four books which, you know, people call the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was reminded of that because the law says what? 6 days you have to work, to labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. And then the penalty for breaking the law of the Sabbath is what? Whosoever breaks the law of the Sabbath shall surely be put to death. So eventually Jesus was caught, he and his band of men, and the four books show Jesus was put to death, just as the law says. But we know also about Jesus that he is a fictitious character, and the story of Jesus in the four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is a study of the law. It's a study of law. The Bible teaches what? Do not break the law of the Sabbath. Do not work on the Sabbath day. Do all your work on, you know, in 6 days. And on the seventh day you shall rest, you shall do no work. Whosoever works during that day, in that day, he shall surely be put to death. Okay? So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John set forth a case study. It's a test for the student of the Bible or for anyone who reads the Bible. It's a test to see if one understands what he has been taught. And so as I've said, you know, in studying Bible content, you see that the character broke the law and that he had to what? One day answer to the law, which the character did and was found guilty. And it shows, it gives evidence, you know, showing the character broke the law of the Sabbath. So be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Divert the attention. That's what the church world does. That's what it's done to black people. It has diverted their attention from what is really in the Bible to what they want you to think. What they want you to think. Who is the they? The captors of black people, who are the Gentiles. What they want you to think. They are under the commandment, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. And so no matter how many people say Jesus died for their sins, that does not make it so. No matter what degrees they have behind their name or in front of their names, handles and all like that, it doesn't matter. Truth is truth, and truth regarding the character Jesus is in the Bible, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is very contrary to what we are taught. So that statement is to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles have been up to this day following, carrying out that commandment, not forgetting to entertain strangers. And just because the Gentiles teach Jesus died for your sin, that does not make it so. We can read now, and see whether or not that is so. And it's been found to be not so. The character died for his own sin. He died died for his own crimes. In other words, for sin is crime. He committed the crime, and he paid for the crime or crimes he committed. So what do I say to you? I say to you, turn your attention to the truth. Whereas you may have been entangled in the web of lies taught, and they may have been taught to your parents and their parents, etc. Still, that does not make a lie the truth. Okay? We are living in a time now, day and time now, when truth of Bible content is coming forth. Not only that, fulfillment of Bible content is coming forth in this 400th year of the anniversary, 400th anniversary of the this revised English translation of the Bible in the AVB, the Authorized Version, commonly called King James Version. Okay, so that for your information, the statement Hebrews 13:2. You now know who that's talking to and who it's talking about. It's talking to the Gentiles about the strangers, who is a reference to those taken captive by the Gentiles, brought into captivity, and many were scattered about, enslaved, oppressed, cruelly treated, etc. So, now let's turn our attention back to the case at hand. In the case at hand, here is what I will do. I will bring forth evidence. The evidence will show that the papacy laid down a plan, a design of specific objectives, evil objectives, premeditated objectives aimed against the plaintiffs, with the plaintiffs' destruction being there, the plaintiffs' enemies' ultimate goal. The evidence will also show that the Gentiles carried out these premeditated papal objectives against the Africans. The evidence will show that the papacy and the Gentiles conspired together to bring about the destruction of Africans and the Gentiles' takeover and possession of the plaintiffs' land, etc., resources, etc. Now, in Exodus 5:23, there is a statement. Well, let's go to Matthew 27:23 first. There's a question: what evil has he done? We talk about the plaintiff. What about the defendant? Matthew 27. Okay, and that is Matthew 27:23. The question: what evil has he done? What evil has the plaintiff, has the defendant done? The plaintiff has said that he was afflicted, and many other things for a good lesson on the plaintiff and his complaint. Check out the two episodes, download or listen to and download the two episodes preceding this episode. Okay? And you'll see plaintiff in the title. All right? What evil has he done? I'm going to speak to that evil at this time. Psalm 106:41. Psalm 106:41, and he gave them into the hand of the heathen. Who is the he and who are the heathen? He, the papacy, gave them, the Africans, into the hand of the heathen Gentiles. And they that hated them, the Africans, the people they conquered and enslaved, ruled over them. It's good for you to look at these statements that I bring forth and see that the Bible is saying these things. The Authorized Version, commonly called King James Version. Okay? Let me read that again. And he, the papacy, gave them, the Africans, into the hand of the heathen, or Gentiles, and they, the Gentiles, that hated them, the people they conquered, the Africans, ruled over them. There, the Africans' enemies also oppressed them. Go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 7 again. He, the plaintiff, was oppressed. They, the slaves, were oppressed. They were treated cruelly. All right? Their enemies also oppressed them, and they, the Africans, were brought into subjection under their, the Gentile, hand. Psalm 69:26. Psalm 69:26 says, for they persecute him. Okay? Persecute, treat cruelly. They persecute him whom thou hast smitten. Back to Isaiah 53. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. They persecute him whom thou hast smitten. Psalms there, and the Gentiles did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now, what God is this? This God is the papacy. Okay? The Gentiles did esteem him stricken, smitten of the papacy, and afflicted. Because that's where the law came down from the papacy that caused, whereby the Gentiles went ahead and invaded and conquered Africa. Okay? So let me read the full statement in Psalm 69:26. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Okay. Now remember in Psalm 69:29, the plaintiff, the black man, has said, I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. All right? And I spoke about the stranger and the alien in the beginning. Psalm 69, verse 8, the plaintiff says, I am become a stranger to my brethren and an alien to my mother's children. All right. Now, for the evidence of affliction, cruel treatment, we turn now to what I call the papacy's curse against black people. Now, the curse is a set of objectives, okay? A set of objectives that have come down from the papacy, put in the hands of the Gentiles, and the Gentiles carried out those objectives that came down from the papacy. Those objectives are in the Bible. Okay. Now, in the law of the curse, the papacy formally and authoritatively charged the Gentile armies with the task of making war with the Africans, defeating the Africans in battle, diminishing the numbers of the Africans, subduing the Africans, making them docile, and subjugating the Africans, confiscating all possessions inclusive of property, resources, natural and otherwise, and land. The papacy's law of the curse authorized the Gentile armies to join forces in order to take over the land of Africa and bring into captivity its people. Now, allow me to read a portion of the curse, a portion of the papacy's curse. I begin here. Micah 7:3, Isaiah 24:3. The great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire. The great man here is speaking about the papacy. Now, understand the papacy here is a reference to the line of popes, okay? The line of popes. In the Bible, you have the Lord, which is spelled using all capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Many times that's a reference to the papacy. It's a reference to the sitting pope, okay? Lord is a title of the pope in the Bible. Okay, so the great man, he utters his mischievous, harmful, injurious desire, saying, I will bring evil upon this people. Okay, and it's been found that the people which the Lord brought evil upon in the Bible are the black people, people of Africa. He says, I will scatter them among the nations and disperse them. Black people have been scattered. That's a part of the plaintiff's complaint. He was taken out of his land and made a stranger elsewhere. I will scatter them among the nations of the Gentiles and disperse them in the countries, Gentile countries. I will stretch out my hand upon them, Ezekiel 6:14. I will even give them into the hand of their enemies. I will deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies. Enemies here is a reference to the Gentiles, just as in Psalm 106. And I remind you, Psalm 106, verse 41, and he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Verse 42, their enemies, okay, the black people's enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. So in the curse, enemies is a reference to the Gentiles. You know, they in the Bible, they call themselves the enemies of black people. All right, so keep up with what I'm saying. The Bible is calling the Gentiles the enemy. At this time, it's not calling the black people the enemy. It's talking about the black people and talking about what their enemy did to them. And here in the curse, I will even give them into the hand of their enemies. I will deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies. Notice how many times the papacy, uses enemies in reference to themselves and their people, the Gentiles. Do you believe the Bible? That's Jeremiah 21:14 and Jeremiah 34:20. I will pluck them. This is a papal order. He is stating his desire. Okay? This is his will upon black people. This is his will, the papacy's will against black people. I will pluck them out of their land. Think about the plaintiff and his complaint. I am become an alien and a stranger in a land that is not his. Okay? I will pluck them out of their land, Jeremiah 12:14. I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. Isn't that what they did to Africa and its aboriginal people, the black people? Isn't that what has happened? We can't deny that. We can't overlook this. We cannot dismiss this. I'm reading from the Bible. I believe the Bible is a good book. I believe the Bible has truth in it, and I'm reading truth that is in the Bible, the AZB, Authorized Version, commonly called King James. Okay? I will divide them and scatter them. This is a plan, premeditated plan, that has been carried out by the Gentiles. I will divide them and scatter them, Exodus 15:9, Genesis 49:7. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity, Jeremiah 18:17. I will scatter them, the Africans, also among the heathen, Gentiles, whom neither they, talking about the Africans, nor their fathers have known. Wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. All of Africa, all of the African people. Ezekiel 7:12, I will search and take them out. The papacy is talking, but who actually did it? The people of the papacy, the Gentiles. Okay? They carried out the will of the papacy against black people. And though they, the Africans, go into captivity under their enemies, the Gentiles, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them, and I will set mine eyes upon them, the Africans, for evil and not for good. They shall fall by the sword of their enemies, Amos 9:3-4, Jeremiah 20:4. Pray not for this people for their good. I will send a sword after them. Think about the armies, the Gentile armies who have joined together. To make war with the Africans, and they overcame them. I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them, Jeremiah 9:16. I will consume them, the Africans, by the sword and by famine and by the pestilence, Jeremiah 14:11-12. They shall fall by the sword. Listen, their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up. Hosea 13:16. I will cause them, the Africans, to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth, Jeremiah 15:4. And I'm going to talk about that later, so keep that in mind there, that statement. Jeremiah 15:4, make a note of that. Fear and dread shall come upon them. Didn't the Africans live in fear day and night? They shall be afraid. Weren't they afraid of their Gentile captors and what they would do to them? pains and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. Trembling shall take hold upon them. Exodus 15:16, Isaiah 13:8, Exodus 15:15. The papacy is talking, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they, the Africans, cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them, Ezekiel 8:18, saith the Lord. Let it be written that they, the Africans, may be destroyed. They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord, Ezekiel 7:19. Their land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled. Think about the programs setting forth children in Africa, certain parts of Africa. Think about the devastation you see. Think about it. The Bible says, their land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled. They shall speak with new tongues. Didn't blacks do that after they were captured by the Gentiles? Now, blacks speak English, they speak French, they speak German or whatever. They speak the language of their captors. That's what that means. They shall speak with new tongues. Okay? They, the Africans, shall lick the dust. What does the phrase lick the dust mean? It means to do servile work, slave work. They shall be afraid, Michael 7:17, of the Lord. Isaiah 8:22, they shall be driven to darkness, which means hopelessness and despair. Think about the slaves. These words were actually accomplished. They were fulfilled. They were fulfilled against black people by the Gentiles who were carrying out this word of the Lord, this word of the papacy, Rome, Italy. The Lord has ordered the Gentiles, Jeremiah 6:19, Deuteronomy 7:21, Psalm 59:13, Proverbs 1:13. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people. I shall scatter them and disperse them. Now the Lord turns his attention to the black people. Still speaking to the Gentiles, the Lord says, thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, the Gentiles, a mighty God and terrible. Consume them in wrath. Consume them that they may not be. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Isn't that what the Gentiles did? With the spoil of the poor, with the spoil of the Africans. Now, the Africans were made poor by the Gentiles. Okay, that's what is the poor. You know, when the plaintiff says, I am poor and needy, they were made, blacks were made poor and needy by their Gentile captors, and ultimately by the word of the Lord, the Gentiles, God, the papacy, Rome, Italy. Ezekiel 11:8, Isaiah 22:17, I believe that is, I will bring a sword upon you, saith the Lord God. Behold, the Lord will carry thee away with a great captivity. Therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land that you know not, neither ye nor your fathers. And there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. And it came to pass. Blacks, since the days of their enslavement and captivity, have served other gods. Okay? Gods of the Gentiles. And it came to pass, Jeremiah 16:13. Ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you. Just like the conclusionary statement in Psalm 106:41-42 says, they that hate you shall reign over you, and I will cause you to serve your enemies in the land which thou knowest not. Your strength shall be spent in vain, Leviticus 26:17, Jeremiah 17:4, Leviticus 26:20, and it came to pass. Ezekiel 5:14, Deuteronomy 4:27, I will make thee waste. Look up the word waste. and a reproach among the nations. Look up the word reproach. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen or Gentiles, whither the Lord shall lead you. Jeremiah 49:15. And after this reading, we're going to hear the announcements. Okay, Jeremiah 49:15, 2 Kings 15:12, Acts 2:38, Deuteronomy 28:33. I will make thee small among the heathen. And what black nation can stand up against, say, any nation of the Gentiles, not to mention the Gentiles themselves? Think about that. The scriptures are real. These things came to pass. Okay? And, okay, I will make thee small among the heathen and despised among men. Isaiah 53:3, the plaintiff, he is despised. The Africans, those taken into captivity, they are despised and rejected of men. Now remember, the slaves were not called men. They were not called human beings, okay? They were made things. They were called slaves. To the Gentiles, a slave was not a person. All right? Let me be clear. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and it came to pass. Now, what is the Holy Ghost? In the Bible, in the Authorized Version, Holy Ghost is a code name for intense fear. Let me say that again before we go into the announcements. In the Bible, in the Authorized Version Bible, the term Holy Ghost is a code word or code name for intense fear, which the slaves had within themselves. Intense fear. That's why it says here to the black people, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, intense fear, and it came to pass. Slaves feared their masters. They feared their captors. Thou, the Africans, shall be only oppressed and crushed always. Okay, Mr. Wells, let's hear the announcement, please.
Thank you, Father. To the listeners, if you would like to receive your copy of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, go to www.lawmaster.co. That's www.lawmaster.co. On the left side of the webpage, click the manuscript and the PayPal button inscribed Donate. For a $12 donation, you will be redirected to a link and download your very own copy in PDF format. Also, become a member to the website and post videos, photos, and take advantage of the links, free books, and email feature amongst members. You can also visit us on YouTube. Go to www.youtube.com/lawofgods. Again, youtube.com/lawofgods. One word. You can find Mr. Hart on Facebook. Simply type The Book of the Law of God. You may post on the news feed any stories, links, videos, and articles relating to the context of the show. Feel free to start discussions, ask questions, make comments, and dialogue. You can now follow His Excellency on Twitter. That's twitter.com. Search Tommy L. Hart. Again, Tommy L. Hart. You will find these links here on the show page. And remember, keep listening to Lawmaster on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Back to you, my lord.
Thank you, Mr. Welch. Information. It's so much information. The Bible is a book of details. The Authorized Version is a book of details. Okay? It's a book of judgment. It's a lot of things. It has a lot of stuff in it. But about the details, it has many, many details. And I'm not going to be able to read all the curses in this hour of time that I have. But even what I have already read is enough evidence. It is convicting evidence, and it is convincing evidence. Okay? Just what I've read of the curse so far. How much do you need to hear to believe? All right? So we're going to continue. I will continue speaking about the curse, and I have got to get to another part, another piece of valuable evidence, just as valuable as the evidence of the curse is in these last few remaining minutes of the screaming time. Okay. Okay, now this word here is to the Gentiles, the armies of the Gentiles. Thou, the Gentiles, shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Okay? Which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Go back to Psalm 106 and let's recall what was said. And Psalm 106, verse 41, and he gave them into the hand of the heathen. Who sold black people into slavery? That's your answer right there in Psalm 106, verse 41. He gave them into the hand of the heathen. The he, a reference to the papacy, gave them, the Africans, into the hand of the heathen. And we know that the Africans were delivered into the hand of the Gentiles. Thus I say, therefore I say, heathen is a reference to the Gentiles, because that what is true. The question in John says, what is truth? Truth is that which is according to reality. Okay? That which actually happened. All right? Truth is what it is. Thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee, thine eye shall have no pity upon them. I hear again the plaintiff saying, I am poor and needy. But the Lord thy God shall, talking to the Gentiles now, the word says, but the Lord thy God shall deliver them to thee and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. The plaintiff didn't even know where he was from. It had been all forgotten throughout the course of the enslavement era. Many, many blacks in other lands other than Africa don't know where they are from. Or they'll tell you they are from Africa because that's what we are taught. But you say, okay, what? Africa is a large continent. But you say, what specific geographic location are you from? And we, and I do say we, cannot tell. We don't know. Is that destruction destroyed to the point of total forgetfulness of one's past? Thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. Until thou have destroyed them, they shall no more be remembered by their name. You shall destroy all this people. The reference is Jeremiah 6:19, Deuteronomy 7:16, then Deuteronomy 7, verses 23 through 24, Hosea 2:17, Numbers 32:15. Hear, O earth, behold the evidence which I have found recorded in the book of the Lord, the Authorized Version. Now, I have got to go to this other piece of evidence. Okay. All right. Okay. I turn your attention now to Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. And I ask the question, and I will give the answer. What is the significance of Revelation 18, verses 12 through 13? Keep in mind, this is the law for all Gentiles everywhere. Okay? This piece of information here, Revelation 18, 12 through 13, goes right along with the curse, all right? It's a part of the curse, okay? Revelation 18, verses 12 through 13, shows the papacy put Africans in the category of things, merchandise. Let me read the statement first. From the Authorized Version. I'm reading from the Authorized Version of the Bible, commonly called King James Version, Revelation 18, verses 12 through 13. Now, in the curse, as I read it, the part that I did read, you heard the word spoil, all right? Spoil, the spoils of war. We're not talking about spoils. Well, yes, we are. Okay, let me just read the statement. The merchandise of gold. Now, I have said that slaves were not considered people. They were considered commodities, each one being a commodity in and of his or herself. Merchandise, things. Things that are bought and sold. Now, this is a picture right here. The law in a picture. The law in a picture. The law of the curse in a picture. Merchandise. In this statement, the papacy set forth things that are bought and sold. Keep that in mind. That's what this is about. This is a papal statement. Okay? The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple clothing made of purple and silk and scarlet and all thyme wood. Now, I did not find thyme, this word, T-H-Y-I-N-E, I did not find it in my Webster's dictionary. Maybe it's in yours. It's not in mine, but that's the only word in the statement that I didn't find in the I did not find in the dictionary. And all manner vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble. We're reading merchandise, things that are bought and sold. And cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves. And wait a minute. That word slaves. And souls of men. The word slaves is right among other things that are bought and sold. Gold. People buy gold, people sell gold. They buy silver, they sell silver. They buy precious stones, they sell precious stones. They buy pearls, they sell pearls. Fine linen, the same, okay? Ivory, precious wood, brass, iron, marble, things made out of those things, and all the other things, okay? Except for the time wood. I'm not certain. What did the papers do in this statement? Well, let's go back to Jeremiah 15, I believe. Verse 4. Yes, Jeremiah 15, verse 4. Please look at the Bible. The Lord said, the Lord, a reference to the papacy, said, and I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth. What does that mean? I'll read it again. I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth. And that actually happened. Black people were removed into all kingdoms of the earth. How do I know? All I have to do is look at this list of things set down by the papacy in Revelation 18, verses 12 through 13. In those two verses, you have things that are in all three major classifications. Being, the classifications are what? The kingdoms of the earth, the animal kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, and the mineral kingdom. In Revelation 18, verses 12 through 13, you have things, items, that are either in the animal kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, or the mineral kingdom. I read again, Jeremiah 15:4. I will cause them, the Africans, to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth. Here, where all kingdoms in Revelation 18:12 through 13, in this statement, where all kingdoms of the earth are represented, the kingdoms of the animal kingdoms, the vegetable kingdom, and the mineral kingdoms, you find slaves. That's the fulfillment of Revelation 18, verses 12 through 13, is the fulfillment of Jeremiah 15, verse 4. Okay? That actually happened. Jeremiah 15, 4, the papacy actually did in Revelation 18, verses 12 through 13. You look up those words, you see where they are. You look up the major classifications or the major kingdoms, okay? Objects have been not put in. It's true. It's real. Black people, you either, you know, in one kingdom or the other, you either in the animal kingdom or the vegetable kingdom or the mineral. You're not in all three of them. Well, the papacy made up another kingdom, a kingdom of assorted things, and put slaves in it. Things that are bought and sold. Okay? Well, I got that in, and screening time is about to run out. Okay? This is hard evidence. This is positive evidence. This statement, Revelation 18, 12 through 13, Jeremiah 15, verse 4, and all that of the curse that I read. Hard evidence, positive evidence against the papacy and the Gentiles, because although the papacy wrote these things other than this right here, what I'm talking about right here in Revelation 12, 13, the things actually carried out by the Gentiles. Okay? The papacy and the Gentiles working together, conspired together to bring about the downfall, the fall of Africa and its aboriginal inhabitants, black people. Mr. Welch, can we hear the announcement again or whatever last word you have, and then I will speak again?
Thank you, Father. To the listeners, if you would like to receive your copy of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, go to www.lawmaster.co. That's www.lawmaster.co. On the left side of the webpage, click the manuscript and the PayPal button inscribed Donate. For a $12 donation, you will be redirected to a link and download your very own copy in PDF format. Also, become a member to the website and post videos, photos, and take advantage of the links, free books, and email feature amongst members. You can also visit us on YouTube. Go to www.youtube.com/lawofgods. Again, youtube.com/lawofgods. One word. You can find Mr. Hart on Facebook. Simply type The Book of the Law of God. You may post on the news feed any stories, links, videos, and articles relating to the context of the show. Feel free to start discussions, ask questions, make comments, and dialogue. You can now follow His Excellency on Twitter. That's twitter.com. Search Tommy L. Hart. Again, Tommy L. Hart. You will find these links here on the show page. And remember, keep listening to Lawmaster on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Back to you, my lord.
Yes, before I give my final word here for this segment, Mr. Welch, are the lines open? Do we have anybody on the phones? What do we have?
Yes, my lord, we have one other caller, area code 916. Caller, if you have any words, questions, or comments, go ahead and raise your hand, and we'll bring you in.
Okay, and I would first like to finish my statement first, my final note here, before the caller speak. I know who that is, and I thank him for calling in and tuning in to the program. Let me give my final word here, please. Revelation 18, 12 through 13 shows the papacy put Africans in the category of things, merchandise, things bought and sold. Revelation 18, 12 through 13 reveals the papacy's dehumanization of Africans. The papacy removed Africans from the Homo sapiens classification and placed them in a category of things. In Revelation 18, 12 through 13, the papacy delivered to the Gentiles a list of things which are bought and sold with slaves, as they, the Africans, were called by their Gentile slave masters, being a listed item. Now, in the statement, Revelation 18, 12 through 13, slaves is number 27, all right? Revelation 18, 12 through 13, commodified slave, or Africans rather. Let me say that again. Revelation 18, 12 through 13, commodified Africans. Revelation 18, 12 through 13 is libelous. Revelation 18, 12 through 13 gave to the Gentiles the right, the permission to own, buy, procure, manufacture, or produce and sell Africans as they were in the role of slaves. Revelation 18, 12 through 13 gave rise to the Gentiles' infamous international African slave trade. Jeremiah 15, 4 and Revelation 18, 12 through 13 are hard evidence against the papacy and the Gentiles. Those two statements are proof of evil. They are positive proof of evil intent by the descendants. So that's my that's it for today. And Mr. Welch, you say you have someone online, or what do we have here?
Yes, we have one other person. Just checking here. Has not raised their hand at this time. Caller, feel free if you'd like to jump in to the discussion at this time. Please raise your hand. Or if you're unable to, I will go ahead and unmute your microphone. And you are now with us. Caller, are you there? Okay, I think they're just listening at this point. Again, Mr. Hart, you laid it out very clearly this afternoon, this late morning. The proof is written and has been carried out, and it what comes to mind is when you're talking about people or entities who cast spells, what I've learned is that before the person or people cast a spell, they have to tell their subject exactly what they intend to do beforehand. And this is a clear picture that the Gentiles, the papacy, has basically told its subjects its plan, its intent before it carried out this action on African peoples. And this is a clear example of that. What would you say to that? How do you feel about that statement?
I didn't know that. Thanks for that bit of information. And I can't add anything to it. I mean, you said it all. You said it all there.
Well, I feel the same way. Today's episode, you know, there's nothing I can really add to it. I think you covered all the bases, and it's pretty clear. There were a few times where you were reading off the curse that you know, I was just shaking my head and just total just very emotional and that we're seen as property even to this day. To the papacy and the Gentiles. Like I was stating last week, you know, about maritime law and social security numbers and whatnot. And there's a lot of information out there dealing with the UCC uniform, commercial code. And I don't want to get off into that on this broadcast. The information is out there. There's people that are into that. I know the Moors are heavily into that, but we won't dive into that here. But just from the information that I've accumulated over the years, everything you state is right, is spot on. And you know, I say that again and again. And I would just like for the listeners that tune in, either live or in the archive, to go back and listen to this show. More than once, because I think that this show here, the evidence is, there's such a preponderance of evidence that I believe that we can walk into a court of law and make an opening statement with just this broadcast before going into further details. As you stated, that the curse is much more to the curse. And you know, when you said that, you know, my heart sunk because I thought to myself, "Wow, what you read off was damaging enough. What more could there be?"
Okay.
So, back to you.
You're absolutely right. What we have in this information is a preponderance of evidence, and the evidence is against the papacy, and it is against the Gentiles. And I want all hearers to know that this is what the Gentiles have recorded. And I'm just reading off what they have recorded. These are not my own words. These are papal words that constitute the curse. The set of objectives, premeditated objectives aimed against Africans and carried out to the fullest by the Gentiles. How can we disregard this information? How can we? How can anyone disregard it? Blacks, Gentiles, Indians, Mexicans, it doesn't matter. This is Bible. This is Bible. This information, how can anyone, I have to say it again, Mr. Welch, how can anyone just disregard this information? Mr. Welch?
The answer to that, I believe the reason why anyone would disregard this information is because of the Holy Ghost, as you've stated, the emotion of fear, intense fear,
mm-hmm.
and a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding of what we're dealing with. We are, you know, as you know, we've said over and over that, you know, I'll give you an example. My brother-in-law went to Catholic school, elementary Catholic school. By the time he got to high school, he went to public high school. But I've known him since I was 5 years old. In other words, practically my entire life. I've never seen him go to church. I've never seen him go to Catholic church. But he purports to be a Catholic. And recently, we were at a dinner. I believe it was during Lent. And he didn't have, you know, any meat on his plate, beef or, you know, he's a heavy pork eater, you know, anything that moves, because he's a hunter and fisher mm-hmm. as well. But this particular day, he was, you know, almost boasting that he didn't have any meat on his plate. And I said, well, what's the deal with this? He's like, oh, I'm celebrating Lent. And I said, Lent? And he said, yeah, you know, I'm a Catholic. Your sister's a Catholic, you know. And I just thought to myself, I never hear you talk about the Bible. In fact, I don't think you've ever read the Bible. I mean, he just doesn't seem like the type of person that would, you know, that is cognizant or mindful of his spirituality whatsoever. And to hear that he's following this ritual of Lent, not, you know, no eating of meat on, I believe it was Friday, it sat very odd with me. And I just realized that he's just following what he was taught from a young age. And that's where we're at as adults. You know, we're just basically following in the footsteps of those before us, and we're not taking the time to go back and put on our critical thinking caps and analyze that has been passed on to determine whether or not what we are thinking, what we are saying, and what we are doing is correct. And the largest reason why is because of an intense fear of, you know, you don't want to go to hell, you know, because hell is violent, you know, you don't want to suffer violently. And hell is probably the most violent example of torture, treachery, and just perpetual pain and suffering. And that would scare the average person into conforming to anything. And so, therefore, you've stated before that that Holy Ghost, that intense fear, is the main reason. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are, first, let me clarify the term hell there, because that has to do with what I'm teaching and setting forth. The Africans were cast into hell. Okay, if one looks up the definition of hell in a good dictionary, he'll see that hell is any place that is with extreme conditions. You know what I'm saying? I don't have the dictionary in front of me, but they were cast into hell. And just look up the word hell in a good dictionary, and you'll see that the enslavement era was an era of hell upon black people. They were cast into slavery. They were cast into hell, a very terrible condition, okay? Now, as far as the reason of fear, the Holy Ghost, intense fear, we have minds. You know, black people have minds, and we are not things. So we should use our minds as things do not have minds. And I know we use our minds in other ways, but I'm talking about use our minds when it comes to hearing truth of Bible content, because this content has affected us all. Of course, we are not enslaved right now, you know, in chains now. We've been emancipated and all, but we should use our mind to that when we hear truth, and I'm speaking about those people who hear truth, who hear the truth, how can you be afraid? Afraid of what? I mean, I'm out here teaching this stuff. You're not out there teaching the stuff. I'm out here teaching the stuff. And yet, thus far, my life has not been affected by anyone else, you know, other than myself. You know, my life hasn't been affected. I've been able to hold down jobs. Never been fired for what I believe or anything. You know what I'm saying? And I've had good jobs. So there's no reason to be fearful. You know, as I said, I'm out in the thick of battle. You know, I'm out here. My name is out there. I think we as a people can hear this information and receive it. I think we will hear it and we will receive it, because that's what any intelligent being would do. If you have been taken into captivity, you and your people, you've lost everything that you had, that your people had. You've lost it all. Come through enslavement era. You've been emancipated. When you hear these things, you should be attracted to them. The Bible says this right here. It says, no man is moved by these things. By the things that you heard me, the listener, I'm talking to the listeners, and those who will hear, you know, the episode. By the things I read in Bible content, I was moved. It says no man should be moved by these things. And I've stated before that no man in the Authorized Version Bible is a nickname for God, for the one the Gentiles in the Bible call God. Okay? And certainly I have been moved. And what does move mean? It means to be caused to act, do, say, etc. Because of the things that I have stated. studied or was studying at the time, I was moved to write down my findings, and I was moved to present these findings to other people. On to the point where I am now on this program, presenting it on Blog Talk Radio by means of the internet. But we have nothing to fear. We should fear not to be moved by these things. If you're not moved by these things and you're hearing them, you need to say, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? You should be moved. And that is whether you are black or Gentile or any other race. It doesn't matter. You know, if you have the Bible and you consider yourself a Bible believer, a Bible totem person or whatever, if you have the Bible and you hold the Bible dear, even if you are not of the Gentile or black race, you should be glad to hear these things, because what I'm doing is opening up the Bible. The Bible has been a closed book. Secret things in the Bible, the things I'm bringing forth, no one else is teaching on them. The Gentiles certainly don't teach them. And just as I read in that statement, Hebrews 13:2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Whereas we have been entertained by non-Bible content with the entertainer saying it is Bible content, we should be rejoicing to hear these things. We should be rejoicing to hear these things. Has the brother on the line raised his hand yet?
The caller's mic is open, so therefore can speak at any moment if that person so chooses.
Okay. Okay. All right. I appreciate it. Okay, so, but yes. That's where we are. This is a time of truth, and this is a time for all those who love the truth. The Bible speaks about those who believe and know the truth. It speaks about those who love the truth. If you don't love the truth, I mean, what do you love? You know, you love lies? Because that's what you get when you go to church. And I'm not just doubting the church. I'm making a true statement. The church's teaching today to black people, I know, and what the Bible teaches are two totally different things, from the simple to the more complex. The church teaches Joseph was sold into Egypt by his brothers. The Bible teaches he was sold into Egypt by means of two groups that the Bible in the book of Genesis, specifies. The church teaches Jesus was a good man, died for your sins and all like that, whereas the Bible teaches Jesus was a criminal who broke laws and one day was finally caught and brought to justice. The things taught in the church world with regard to Bible content are totally different and in contrast to what the Bible actually teaches. So we should be joyful of hearing the truth and receiving these things readily and with a ready mind to come together and work to see to it and help see to it that all the people get not only access to the truth, but get the truth, because in that truth is our salvation. Mr. Welch?
Very profound. About Jesus breaking the law and being charged as a criminal and executed. That is much more in line with what we see today or have seen all along versus one man coming to earth in the form of God and doing these things, you know, in a matter of days, I believe it was, because that's what we're talking about in the New Testament, is just a matter of days in this person's life. what comes to mind is that movie, The Passion. And by the way, have you seen The Passion of Christ, Mr. Hart?
No, I never did see that.
Okay. I fought it for a long time, and then it came out on DVD, so I ended up taking a look. I wanted to see what the whole hoopla was about, and all I can say is that movie probably set black people back another 500 years. oh, most definitely. It's such a tragedy. Something that happened to one person, and I've heard Jeremiah Kamara state this in another broadcast. He said, what you're talking about is something that happened to one person over, you know, 2 or 3 days versus what has happened to black people on whole for close to 400 years. There is no comparison to that. Okay, what one man? And then they say that he died on the cross for everyone's crimes and, sin, which is crime. And that we are living in a time of grace, and that we are all, it's a contradiction. If that's the case, then why do I have to still go to jail if I break the law today? If this man paid for my crimes before I was even born, or even if he paid for my crimes that would keep me out of heaven, quote heaven, then why do I still have to go to church every Sunday and profess to being a Christian and uttering the words of, you know, Jesus coming into my heart and saving me from sin, and then I'm saved? Why would you have to be saved? What's if this man died on the cross for your crimes before you were born, why do you still have to worry about being, quote, saved? Saved from what? These are just, you know, some of the questions, you know, that pop up in my mind. And I hope that listeners will, you know, seek answers to these same questions as well, and try to answer them. What would you say to a Christian who is under this, quote, spell of religion in Christianity?
I would say they need to hear my teaching. As simple as that. They need to hear the truth. They need to hear the truth of Bible content. There's no getting around it. And the thing about it, they don't have to try. They don't have to worry their head. They don't have to try to look up or dig up anything. The truth has already been dug up. And let's not kid ourselves. You're not going to do it. You're not going to find it out yourself. I don't care how many Bibles you have. We've been freed over here in America about 146 years, okay? And no one else has dug up all these things. What makes you think you can do it? The truth is already found out, and as even the Bible teaches, you get truth by hearing. You don't get truth by studying. Okay, now you can study my material so you can become proficient, you know, in the knowledge of the truth, you know. But to try to find these things yourself, you know, let's not kid ourselves. If you could have done it, you would have been done it, you know. All right, it's already done for you. It's as simple as that. Faith comes by hearing. It didn't say faith comes by going to school. It didn't say it comes by study and all like that. It just said faith comes by hearing. And this is the true faith. Faith is that which one believes anything faith is anything believed, but I'm talking about the faith of the knowledge of the truth of Bible content. That comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hearing as stated in or recorded by God. By hearing. So, it's easy. All you have to do, tune in to these episodes, download them, listen to them, and as you said earlier, some of them, if not all of them, listen to them more than once. Work them, study them. But you're not studying to get truth, because, you know what? When I hold my document in my hand, what am I holding? I'm holding truth in my hand. Okay? If you have one of my documents, you have possession of truth of Bible content. Okay? You download an episode. What are you downloading? You're downloading truth of Bible content. So it's already prepared for you. All you have to do is what? Receive it. What that thing says in in Psalms 23, and I'm turning to it right quickly, Psalm 23. It says this right here. Just a moment, if you will. Okay.
That's fine. Take it there.
Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You don't have to want for truth. All you have to do is just receive it. Isn't that wonderful? Mr. Welch, isn't that wonderful?
Extremely wonderful.
Extremely wonderful. That's wonderful. You don't have to want. You don't have to like, L-A-C-K, truth. Just receive it. And I'm just going to read this. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I lead you into the path of truth, of Bible content. Follow the teaching. That's all you got to do. Follow the teaching. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. My teaching is a righteous teaching. It's a right teaching. It's right. My conclusions are right. Huh? Okay. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And that's what I was speaking about earlier. You don't have to fear. You're not out there on the front line. And not to say that even if you're on the front line, you should fear. But sometimes fear is reasonable. Sometimes it's good to fear. You know what I'm saying? Don't be a fool. You know what I'm saying? But let me read on. For thou art with me, this is what I was trying to get to, verse 5, Psalm 23, verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me. The table is already prepared. All you got to do is what? Sit down and eat. That's all. Truth is already prepared. It's already laid out for you. You don't have to dig. You don't have to strain your mind. I've done all that. Hear, believe, receive. Simple. Real simple. Because isn't that what the average one of you have done who say you love Jesus? You heard somebody talk about Jesus. You never went and did any study on Jesus. You never did. You heard somebody say something. I don't know who it was or what their profession was, but you heard and you received. Truth is the same way. You heard and received the lie. Why not hear and receive truth of Bible content? It's already prepared for you. Anything else in there that I can pull? Let's see. Okay. That's it. Thou preparest a table before me, even in the presence of mine enemies. It's already prepared, people. Come eat and dine of the truth. Mr. Welch?
Yes. Come and eat and dine with the truth. and step away from that wicked and evil doctrine.
Yeah,
that,
absolutely.
That is, you are, you know, these, you know, people are under a spell, Mr. Hart,
mm-hmm.
With the teachings. You know, I and I look at family members, and I just have a wish that I could somehow get through to them, but they are hypnotized
mm-hmm.
by, you know, this under a severe hypnosis, a very, very difficult form of brainwashing, a very difficult form of brainwashing to break.
Mm-hmm.
And we still haven't found the solution to doing such a thing without becoming, I would say, traumatic to the mind. It seems as though the only way to snap a person out of their belief system is that you have to traumatize their psyche. I'll take 9/11 for instance. Some people are still suffering from that event psychologically. Many people say that it changed the world to them, and it's unfortunate that 3,000 people died on that day. But the point is, in order for a person to snap out of their false reality, you almost have to bring in a traumatic situation to the, you know, to help blast away this the false reality that we're under. And it's just an example. And you know, what more can I say? It's just, it can be done. It's just one of the hardest things to do.
I feel you, Mr. Welch. I feel you. But I myself don't think it's so hard to break away. If it was hard to break away from, I wouldn't be believing and teaching what I'm teaching right now, because I was really into Bible. A lot of people are hypocrites. They call themselves Christians, they say they're Christians, and all like that. You know?
Yes,
but
sir.
I was really studying the Bible. I wanted to know the truth. And it's as simple as that. Many people do not want to know the truth. They don't care. You know, they just don't care.
Absolutely.
You know? And that's
what I mean.
I mean, if it was difficult, I wouldn't be here today doing what I'm doing. Okay? I wanted to know truth, and as I found truth, I didn't reject it. I didn't argue with it. I received it. I accepted it immediately. You know what I'm saying? Immediately. Because like the Bible says, lest I forget what thine eyes have seen. I know what my eyes see in the Bible. And I know what I'm taught, what I was taught, you know, before. And I made a deliberate decision one day. I was very young, in my early 20s, and I said, from now on, I'm going to believe what the Bible says, that whenever there's a contradiction between what men say and the Bible says, I'm going to go with the Bible. Because if anyone knows, the Bible should know. It should know. That's what I said. You know what I'm saying? And I've held to that. I've held to that through the years. Why? A simple reason, very simple reason. Because I wanted to know what was in the book. That's all. That's all I wanted. I just wanted to know what was in the book. I didn't know I would come up with all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? I had no idea. No idea. And
well, you're astute.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, what was that you said?
I said you are astute. you are able to go in and actually look at the words and many people, if they even crack open the Bible, it's questionable if they're able to do that because, go ahead.
Remember, Mr. Welch, I'm not asking anybody to read the Bible. I'm saying take my teaching and believe, receive it and believe it. But I'm just saying what I did myself, what I myself did, which the average person I know cannot and will not do, okay? But I knew what my eyes were seeing, and I would check things out and say, well, let me see what it says over here, and let me see what it says over here about the same subject matter, you know what I'm saying? And all.
Yes.
And I didn't forget, like the Bible says, what my eyes were seeing. I obeyed the commandment, although I didn't know the commandment at that time, that says, remember and forget not. So as I learned, I kept remembering and making notes and all, even notes in my dictionary. You know, who would put a note in a dictionary? But anyway, you know, but I'm not asking the hearer to study. I'm not asking him to open his, now I say, open your Bible to see my references and all like that, you know what I'm saying, what I'm teaching and all. But other than that, as far as study, you don't know how to study the Bible. As the statement says, he prepares a table before me. The table is already spread. It's already spread. It's even already put on the plate. All you got to do is just pick it up and eat it. You know? That's just it. Some people don't give a darn. And they may be highly intelligent people. But you know what? You know what? The question that arises here is, do we, you know, and speaking of black people, do we still have that slave mentality? You know, a slave was dumb. Are we dumb? That's the question. Because, and don't get me wrong, I'm not putting down black people. I want black people to hear the information. But like you said, sometimes you need that snap. You need that, you know, that shaking. You know what I'm saying? The question is, are we dumb that we can hear these things and turn away from them and walk away like we never heard anything? That's a dumb person. I hate to say it, but look up the definition for sheep. You know, people who go to church, they'll say they're the sheep and God is the shepherd and all like that. You know what a sheep is? A sheep is a dumb animal. Look it up in the dictionary. A sheep is a stupid animal. Don't ever call yourself a sheep. I don't care what your preacher says. I don't care what the Bible says right here in this regard. You know what I'm saying? Okay, let me turn to this, Mr. Welch, if you don't mind, please.
Okay.
Let me turn to this right here. Okay, and a lot of people notice, you know, they know this statement right here. Okay, just a moment. Listen to this right here. Psalm 100 is a very familiar psalm to many people. Psalm 100, verse 3. It says this, real simple words. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. Listen, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now the statement says this right here. We are his people. Then I have a comma, and it says, and the sheep of his pasture. Are they calling themselves sheep, or is there a division there? I'm talking about the Gentiles. Or is there a division, and the sheep of his pasture? I could ask the question, what about the sheep of his pasture? They've already said, we are his people.
Mm-hmm.
Comma. And then you have the fragment, and the sheep of his pasture. Now, if you call yourself a sheep, you're calling yourself a dumb, stupid animal. Okay? A dumb. Look it up in the dictionary, the word sheep. All right? It's not complimentary.
It isn't.
If somebody calls you a sheep or you call yourself a sheep, it's not complimentary at all. All right? But are we still like the plaintiff when he was enslaved, dumb? Now, he was made dumb. He has a legitimate excuse. he was made dumb by the captors. But you don't have to be dumb anymore. If you can hear truth and walk away from it like you never heard it, that's an act of a very dumb person. That's stupid. I'm sorry to say it. But that's stupidity. They lied to me about this book. And then somebody, whosoever will, going to bring forth truth about the book. And I turn a deaf ear to it. And by that book, the Gentiles invaded my land, took possession of everything my people had, even their own bodies and all like that, and did everything that they did. And the Bible going to talk about these things, and somebody going to pull these things from the Bible, and I turn a deaf ear from it and act like I ain't never heard it talking about I love Jesus. That's stupidity. Stupor. That came up when I was looking up the term entertain. Be careful not to be not forgetful to entertain strangers. I looked up the word entertain, and it took me to several other words. I may not can remember all of them. I wrote out the definitions. Entertain, and then there was, I wish I had it right in front of me, but it was several words. Oh, wow.
I have my dictionary. You say you want the definition for entertain?
Okay, give it to me if you have it right there.
Okay, first I have the definition for the word sheep. I'm reading from the. This is the Random House College Dictionary from 1988. I've had this since high school, but the definition for sheep in this one in particular is. Well, it has three, but I'll take the third one. It means a meek, unimaginative, or easily led person.
Yeah. Docile. D-O-C-I-L-E. Easily managed. Tell me anything.
Unimaginative.
Anything, I believe it. Accept the truth. How can we receive the a false teaching, any kind of teaching, from the very ones who enslaved us, and then hear that teaching is erroneous and everything else, and show me truth and I reject truth. Go ahead, Mr. West. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Yes, what comes to mind when we talk about sheep is the passage, lean not to thine own understanding. And the definition for sheep that I just read is someone who is easily led, an easily led person who is unimaginative, meek person who is unimaginative and easily led.
Yeah.
That is the definition for a sheep. Like you said, you know, why would anyone want to be a sheep? If you study the nature of a sheep is extremely meek. And one of the dumbest animals on the planet. It literally is probably the dumbest animal on the planet.
Okay. Let me read my definition here, if you will.
Okay.
Okay, I'm reading from Webster's, and I'm reading the third definition. A person who is meek, stupid. Did you hear that? This
stupid.
Is in my dictionary. A person who is meek, stupid, timid, submissive, etc. So don't ever call yourself sheep. Nobody's sheep. Not even God's sheep. You can be God's follower or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But you don't have to be a sheep.
Well, let's discover why we shouldn't even be God's sheep. Because look around us. It's Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon on the East Coast, and there are people packed into these churches right now. But when they leave the church, they go right back into reality. And the reality is the north side of St. Louis, North Miami, the ghettos around the United States, around the world. I mean, and it is because we have bought into this sheep mentality of being dumb and stupid, easily led, unimaginative, And I don't want to say all of us. I don't want to, put us down like that. But
no, I'm not. And
really,
I'm not putting us down. I'm saying don't be like that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I also have the definition for entertain here. And, just want to let you know, we got 10 minutes left in the show. Definition for entertain.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I have here is to hold the attention of agreeably, divert, amuse, to treat as a guest, show hospitality to admit into or hold in the mind, consider, to maintain or keep up, give admittance or reception to, receive, to exercise hospitality, entertain company. That's what I have here. Entertainment is the act of entertaining.
Right.
And that's where our people are right now, this Sunday morning. They're in the church being entertained rather than putting on their critical thinking caps to learn what is being spoken in this hour on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, right. Okay, and the definition, the word that I was trying to get to for entertain, you said it.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, to hold the attention of and give pleasure to.
Mm-hmm.
Give pleasure to. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then divert and amuse. Those two words right there. Divert. So you have entertain, divert, amuse, and guess what it took me to afterwards?
What's that?
Stupor. Stupor. Another term for another form of the word stupidity. Stupid.
Do you know what else comes to mind when you read that definition? And it just it was the image flashed in my mind of a baby or children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had it sitting right here in front of me all the time. I have entertain, divert, amuse. Okay, then I have divert, to turn a person or thing from a course, direction, et cetera, into another, to distract the attention of, to amuse, entertain, taking me back to entertain, then amuse, to keep pleasantly or enjoyably occupied or interested. They're occupied in church right now, a lot of them. You know what I'm saying? Not in the truth, though, but in church. And church is the one place where truth is not taught. And listen, not wanted. I have, some ministers have bought my document. Some ministers I have given a document to. You think I've heard from one of them? Not a single one. You think they've called me to speak at their church? Not a single one. Not one. Now, these are ministers. I went to the pastor. Not a single one. And here I am coming from the Bible. The church is the enemy of God. But people don't know it. And all we can do is tell them. But you know what? Before time is out, I wanted to say this right here. What can we do? Those of us who know the truth, who receive the truth, believe the truth, love the truth, what can we do? We can do one or two things, or we can do both things. The first one is in John chapter 1, right quick. John chapter 1, and it's just a little simple statement. John chapter 1, verse 45. You know what to tell people? Tell people this. We have found him. I have found him. I have found the one the Bible calls God. That's the message. That's the message. I have found him. You know, and, I've learned so much. I've learned this, I've learned that, but I have found him, the one the Bible calls God. And then, John, the same book, John chapter 3, do like the woman at the well.
Mm-hmm.
She went and told the people, this was her testimony. She said, come see a man. Come see him. I'm sorry for getting excited. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. That's all. We have found him. Come see him. Come hear him on Blog Talk. Here's a document that I got for you. Pass a document along to him. You know, let me tell you, that man has opened up the Bible for me. You know, I understand scripture now, and I found out so much, but I have found him, the one the Bible calls God.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've seen him in person. In fact, we had dinner, we talked, we did a video interview together, met my wife. You can see him.
Yes. Yes, in the flesh.
In the flesh, absolutely. You know, and, you know, I wanted to quickly, we have about 4 minutes left of the show. I wanted to quickly go back to something that I was thinking and wrote down a couple weeks ago, the statement that our people concentrate more on cars, clothes, hair, and entertainment. And that what I meant by entertainment, it encompasses everything from, you know, their cell phones to being on the internet to, you know, listening to all types of music. But I think the one thing that does not readily come to mind, but which is probably the basis for all of the other forms of entertainment, is religion. The church the greatest form of entertainment for our people.
Right.
And and everything else just kind of ripple, it's like a ripple effect away from that, you know. Everything from going to the movies to shopping for things that we don't, in many instances, have the money to purchase. Try to create this facade of being something that we are not, being other than ourselves, and all of it is because we are trying to fill an empty void. We're trying to fill a vacuum, and that vacuum has been created by the lack of truth in a person's reality. And Black people have to come to that reality. The things that we spend very little time on is our economics, our education, creating businesses, our politics, you know, creating law for ourselves, the correct form of religion or spirituality, engaging in a healthy social network with one another, and get this one. We spend almost no time on military and self-defense.